give thanks because of what the Lord has done for us. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And I'd like to read the first three verses, and then we will skip down to verse 25. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also. And you know, well, yes, we'll stop there at verse 3, and then go over to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Jesus, our peace amidst the chaos. At Second Presbyterian Church, we often give thanks, and specifically do so each week during the Lord's Supper, Communion, the Eucharist. We celebrate that which has been done from the beginning of a Christian era instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. By the end of the first century, Christians were referring to this sacrament that we will take as the Eucharist. In the New Testament, those words of institution from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24 are familiar to all of us. The minister always says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it." Eucharistisas. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and Eucharistisas, he gave thanks. And from that we get the Eucharist, and he broke it. And so for two millennia, priests and pastors have intoned those sacred words over this sacrament that we observe this evening. Well, please understand that thanksgiving, we understand, is not something that just Christians do. We as a nation are called upon to give thanks, and during this week there'll be many services, many households, many places of worship of different denominations, different faiths. Well, there will be a time where people give thanks. They give it because of the freedoms that this country enjoys. Since 1789, there has been a national day with a proclamation, most often issued by the President of the United States, calling upon us to give thanks to God for his particular providences in our lives. But in the Lord's Supper, for the people of God, we are giving thanks for his particular, powerful, poignant providences in our lives. knowing that he has said to us, I will be with you to the end of the age. It's at this point in John's gospel that Jesus, now with the 11 disciples, is giving them instructions in what we call his farewell discourses in chapters 14 through 17. It's here where Jesus says, I am going to be leaving you. I'm not going to be with you soon. And there's going to be something cataclysmically different that takes place in your lives. He knows that they will be scattered, that they will be in dismay and distress, but he promises them that with his departure, he is going to give them his special kingdom gift. Now, the church throughout ages has had the discussion about whether the proclamation, the giving, the gift of the Holy Spirit is just the gift from the Father or from Jesus. But we understand that it is from the Father and the Son that the Holy Spirit comes to be our special undergirder. He is our supporter. He is the one who communicates to us the full measure of love that the Father and the Son have planned for us. In that holy huddle from all eternity, their concert was to say, we will make a people for ourselves. We will call them. We will save them. And the Spirit will come into the hearts of all of those people. This is Jesus' legacy. He didn't have a 401k, riches. He didn't have any property. The only thing that one could say that he possessed was a robe, and that was taken away from him. But Jesus says to us, in the midst of the heartache and the difficulty that must come to you as it came to me on my way to the cross, the Holy Spirit will be with you. So what is it this evening as we think about the many things, the many items of thanksgiving that we could share with one another? What is the particular aspect this evening that is ours as the people of God for which I suggest we should give thanks? Well, the Apostle Paul speaks of that in Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Peace. I cannot imagine any other verse of Scripture that I have thought to myself nor repeated to others in good times and bad more than this one. It would not be overstatement to say that in the 45 years since Christ conquered me and made me his own, I have shared this passage thousands of times. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And I have thought it to myself in that number. Sometimes when the tears flow freely and you wonder why this or that has happened, when the sharp edges of God's providence touch us, whether it's illness in someone else's life or difficulty or death, and you standing with those hard questions coming to you, and people say, why? And they don't comprehend, and there's nothing more to say that brings me comfort and has brought many others comfort then peace I leave with you. My peace do I give unto you. The peace of God is saying that the warfare that we have against God and his Messiah is over. Psalm 2 speaks of the nature of all humankind, and it speaks of God's Messiah set on his holy hill. And what's the response of humanity? Well, we want to drag him down from that proper place. Let us break the bonds that would keep us from what we would want to do. I think of those words from Handel's Messiah. Let us break their bonds asunder. And yet that psalm says, he who sits on high laughs. He scorns that rebellion. But fierce that is the rebellion in our hearts. It's the traitorous nature that we naturally have as fallen sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. But the peace of God is as if there had never been warfare. There's no lingering animosity. There's not a notion that, well, you know you did bad, and now it's all over, and we won't just talk about that anymore. You've been in those situations, haven't you, when you've had a dust-up with someone, and you have some reconciliation, and maybe it's gone well. But you have that notion that, is it ever going to be as good as it was before? Families have that. And you think, yeah, we're not angry with one another, but the friendliness, the warmth, the trust isn't just the same, and maybe it takes a while. But have you not lived with the tension of thinking, boy, if I do something again that isn't just right, well, I bruise that relationship even more. Well, in our relationship with God, we need never, ever have the notion that he holds to our charge what we have done. Our thanksgiving is that Jesus took all the wrath and the anger unto himself and satisfied entirely the anger of God against sinners, against sin, against rebellion. And we're given a notion to help us to understand that he cast it away as far from east, from west is distant. The psalmist says, he has put our sins at that distance. It gives us confidence. Confidence that that holy contract that the Father and the Son have made to enter into the bond of salvation means that we are secure. Our rebellion, though it may flare up and it shows itself, is still that which Jesus says, I forgive you. I love you. There is peace for us amidst the chaos. There are times when the sharp edges of God's providence, as I've called them, and think of them, come against us, and we think, why has this happened? Does it mean that, yes, God has forgiven me, but there's something that maybe I need to pay for? I remember one person I know said when somebody else had a difficult time and they had one, he said, well, boy, I'm thankful that my turn's over. And it was sort of like a karma, you know, that you have your bad time, you have your time, you have another, and, you know, what goes around comes around, it may come to us again. And I thought, this is not the nature of the God of the Scriptures. George's word this morning was wonderful to hear. We hadn't talked about each other's sermons, but he spoke about what it is to be in union with Christ, what it is to be a hero. What does one whom God calls say when the hard times come and we say, we want to be God's man, we want to be God's woman, but it seems too difficult? We remember that we are vitally, eternally linked with God in Jesus Christ. And what comes to us then is the Spirit who in those difficult times, when we are battered and bruised, torn and tried, the Spirit comes and he says to us, peace, peace, peace. Is it something that means that what has happened isn't really as bad as we may think? No. The difficulties that some of you are undergoing, losses, frustrations, questions, all of those things, premature death of a child, of a friend, of a spouse, coming to a point in life where dreams that you hope would come to pass are not going to come to pass. It may be that those persistent pains grow worse and there isn't any healing. The nights filled with sadness and pain. In those times, the Holy Spirit reminds us not only who we are as a son or a daughter, but poignantly whose we are. And the tenderness that he would grasp us with is our special gift. The one he gives to us freely. Friends, if there is some aspect of your life in which you do not know fully that powerful presence and peace of God amidst whatever may be the chaos of your life, I invite you to know that this evening. This way station of grace, this table, which has elements that even if we ate a lot of them would not physically fill us up, taking just a bit of each element will spiritually satisfy us. It is God's way of saying, pilgrim, pilgrim, stop. Be refreshed. Be like those first pilgrims who had a real sense of God's activity in preserving them and wanted to say, we thank God for this perilous first year. What we're saying is, we thank God for last week, and we stop, and we say, refresh us again by your grace. It is an opportunity when you take these elements. Hear in your mind Jesus saying, peace, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Jesus says to us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We are justified by faith, and we have peace with God. Let that rule in your heart in ways perhaps not experienced before, in a fullness that you've not thought to ask for. And let that peace be the inheritance that we share with our friends in the week to come, in the year to come. Maybe you can tell them, we gave thanks at Second Presbyterian Church for the peace of Jesus. In his name we pray, thanking him for all he has done, for him being our peace. It surpasses all understanding as Philippians says to us, the benediction that I want each day is that one Paul spoke. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.